Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positive to get you through the week now that the winning streak is over with and we calm down around here. We got a trading deadline coming up. We have Ravens camp opening next week. Luke Jones will be out there. I will be kicking off the Maryland Crab Cake Tour for another season. We're going to have Raven scratch also. I still get to hold the Maryland Treasures up, which I have a pretty good time with. This is one of my more fun promotions because it was artsy and local, and I still haven't been there, but I'll get there at some point. Luke just got back from there in the beach just in time to crush the Orioles winning streak. Luke leaves, challenges the Orioles, and here we are. And, it's fun at least having a big game and a big crowd and a Fenway Park and a how's the pitching and the Orioles signed a pitcher. And, we're having real baseball conversations. I don't know that either one of us really believe in what's going on here at the operation or the 7-game winning streak against the Royals and the Astros and what the next 2 weeks will portend, let alone what the next couple of seasons are going to be about. But for now, they were embroiled in a game they could win. And it's the original sin, dude. They don't catch the ball. It's they're a disgrace defensively. It's awful.
Well, it was more that they didn't throw the ball on Monday night. But yeah, I mean, four errors. And I know Craig Albernez wanted to split hairs in the post game and say, well, it could have been three, which really you could fire back and say, well, Gunnar Henderson should have gotten an error on that second misplay in the third inning, right? I mean, a liner that wasn't even that high. He jumps up in the air and it hits off his, either the heel of his glove or his wrist, even. I mean, just, yeah, I think I texted to you and I'll say this over the air because I've seen JV baseball teams play better defense than what we saw, specifically in that third inning, but some other instances over the course of the game. This is a Red Sox team that's won 14 games in a row, 13 in a row going into Monday night's game. You're going to give them extra outs and extra opportunities. What do you think's going to happen, right? And that's the shame of it because, like you said, this was a back and forth, exciting game. I'm not going to say it was October baseball. It's July, right? But it felt meaningful. It felt like two teams that are really trying to jockey for position here after they
Also feels
played.
like two sets of teams and two sets of fan bases that were completely exterminated, so much so that literally as we record this segment, we would have been in the air going to Fenway Park, like because we had planned on and we were like, it didn't feel like it was gonna matter to you and me 2 weeks ago, let alone to the players. So like all of a sudden, let alone to the broadcasters, like, it feels like you jet into something that you'd given up on a couple of weeks ago and given up several times on here and probably never believed in at all if you were in Boston, right? Like, so I don't know. It's kind of neat in that way. I mean, I don't know if either one of these teams is going to make the playoffs or whatever, but I don't know. I'm just trying to be pie in the sky and Pollyanna and Baltimore positive, I guess. But yeah, I. Neither one of us believe in this, right? I mean, do we
Well,
or do we not?
I mean, as it pertains to the big picture, what it looks like right now, no, I'm not feeling great about it. And I'm not going to sit here and say that a 7-game winning streak wipes away everything. But you also look at the context of the American League and say there is an opportunity here, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the
sure.
Reds, that's exactly what the Red Sox are doing right now. They were 11 games under 500, what, 3 weeks ago? When you include the All-Star break. And now they're in the third wild card spot and they're 3 games over 500 and they're right there on the verge of setting a franchise record for a winning streak, right? I mean,
And
it's
certainly put themselves in a position to compete for the division. Like, if
sure. I
things
mean, if they
break the
continue to
right,
play like this,
of
yeah.
course.
And obviously
But
Tampa
they
Bay
put
and
themselves in a position. That's what I'm saying. Like,
right.
that's all you're doing in July is you're moving along the backstretch like the horses at some point, and who's going to fade and who's just going to give up? And we went through that earlier, and they're not going to give up. I mean, the Orioles, I mean, I don't.
No, I mean,
It feels very much like there'll be buyers next week for whatever buyers means. They're not going to be subtracting Holidays or Couzers or
no.
Rutschmans. And if we get back to Rutschman being injured again. But yeah, I mean, I'm sitting up straight for our audience and for anyone who loves the Orioles and wants to have meaningful baseball games, and there haven't felt like a whole lot of meaningful baseball games first half of the year. Just like they haven't played a meaningful baseball game since like you and me in opening day in Toronto last year. Like to some degree, where you're like you really believe they can win. They're, that went away in May of last year. I believe 92 wins until everybody got hurt in April, and then I stopped believing. I wanted to fire the general manager on Preakness Day. Still do. Still would have. And then they win a bunch of ball games against slag teams while you're on vacation eating pizza. And then you come back and they start losing again. And I'd honestly rather be in Boston today for a big game. I probably still would go to see Toto and Christopher Cross if me had my way. But I like the fact that my timeline is alive and we're watching it. I hate that it looks like JV baseball, and I can't believe in it.
Well, and look, I don't want to completely bury them because the 7-game winning streak comes to an end. Like, they're going to lose another game. The Red Sox will lose another game here at some point, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or later this week, right? I mean,
But
like,
whether
that's
you can
how,
win games kicking the ball around like the Bad News
but
Bears.
that's the thing, right? You look at a game like this where Shane Baz pitched pretty well, right? Like, the third inning hits two outs and nobody on. The balls hit to Jeremiah Jackson, and I get it. You're talking about someone who runs well there. He's got to make a good throw, but
They
the
just have
plays.
guys in the field that shouldn't be there. You went through Taveras in center field. After all the errors, then they put Jackson Holliday at third base, which was like our nightmare thing from 2 months ago to say, how about you make him a major league player for like it's just they are their own self-fulfilling prophecy in that way. I mean, they don't give the kid a chance.
Well, I'm
Right?
not gonna. I mean, that part of what happened is a product of Blaze Alexander being on the IL, right? You don't have the
And
defensive
Westberg,
alignments.
keep
Well,
going,
of
right?
course,
Yeah,
but
right.
well, Westberg's been gone since March, so I'm not gonna give him a pass on that. You can go out and get somebody when you're talking about that, but they recently lost Blaze Alexander, so that's where the defensive alignments change. I mean, we're seeing Christian Encarnacion Strand, who actually was one of their better performers on Monday night. Good for him, but. You certainly do not have the versatility in this infield that you had when you have Blaze Alexander. I mean, simple question. Who's playing shortstop if something happens to Gunnar Henderson, right? I mean, is it Jackson Holliday? I guess right now, but there's a reason why they moved him to second, right? So yeah, but I go back to that third inning. I mean, this is a back and forth game, right? And that's where I give the Orioles credit. Even in the ninth inning, after Durbin hits the home run in the bottom of the eighth off Wells, and you're thinking, all right, well, they're probably going to go quietly. Chapman's really good. Couser has a really good at bat, works a walk. They've got an opportunity to not just tie the game, but go ahead. And O'Neill hits a bullet. So it was a back and forth. They come up short, but you go back to that third inning, two outs. Nobody on in the bottom half of the inning, and you give up two runs because your defense is just awful, right? I mean, not just on one specific play, but a sequence of plays where your defense just stinks. Gunnar Henderson and Jeremiah Jackson, even the double there, Taveras, very conservative going after that ball in left center field, did not play that in a sure way. I think Colton Cowser catches that ball, quite frankly. And I'm not saying he's, Paul Blair, but he's better than Taveras in center field. But you're not playing him because he can't hit lefties at all, right? I mean, you just have this club that
It's a
has all
Swiss
these
cheese
different,
team, right? There's
yeah, I mean, there's
holes
just holes and
everywhere.
flaws. Oh, and we talked about this even coming out of the 7-game winning streak and the sweep in Houston. I mean, but the point I was trying to make is here you have this lineup that strikes out, what, 15 times. Well, on the heels of striking out, I think it was 38 times in Houston. I mean, they've struck out a ton coming out of the break, yet they still scored five runs. They still had a chance, and they'd still very much a good chance to win this ball game if you just play decent defense. I mean, Boston didn't play a completely flawless game, but which team made fewer mistakes and which team did a much better job taking advantage of the opponent's mistakes? It was clearly the Boston Red Sox. And when you look at it through that lens, and it's a 6-5 ball game. Yeah, the Orioles fault, and they didn't lay down and roll over, and I'll commend them on that, but that was a very winnable ball game on Monday night. And that's where you look at it, and the Red Sox are in the same camp, even as a team that's won 14 in a row, because you look at it and say, well, they've won 14 in a row, yet they're only 3 games over 500. So it tells you how far they've had to climb. Same story for the Orioles right now, on the heels of a 7-game winning streak coming to an end. You're still 3 games under 500. It speaks to the kind of hole that each team put themselves in over the first 3+ months of baseball, but it's a reminder of how very tiny that margin for error is at this point, and how very fleeting it can be that you say, all right, it's nice to have a winning streak. And it is. I give them credit for the way that they finished the first half and then come out of the break in Houston against an Astros team that's been in a very similar place to the Orioles and the Red Sox this year. Underwhelming, underperforming, disappointing over the first few months, trying to dig themselves out of a hole, and the Orioles got a sweep. So that was good to see, but it's the manner in which they lost Monday night. Losing on Monday night, one of these teams was going to have their winning streak come to an end, but I don't like how they played. I mean, it's just that simple. The defense was very sloppy. Craig Albernaz can, sit there and say, well, they technically gave Ward a throwing error. Well, Gunnar should have gotten another error in the third inning anyway. And there were a couple other plays here and there where you look at it and say, that it's not the way you want to do
Yeah,
it.
I don't know
They
what
gave
your
up some
level of
extra bases.
expectation is when you're putting Jackson Holliday at third base or Jeremiah Jackson here or
Jeremiah
skating guys
Jackson's
around or whatever
got a
it would
point.
be. Tavares in center, having guys that you would rather
Tavares
have
is a.
Paul Blair play, but you don't have him,
Oh,
right?
okay.
But
I mean, that.
then there is the point where like the ball gets hit to you, you have to look like a ball player when you are the shortstop. Right, like to about Henderson, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to say, well, Tavares, yeah, I don't even give him a pass. He was a major league player. It's like when guys can't bunt. Like, I don't even want to hear that. I really don't. But it's one thing to not have speed. It's another thing to use it poorly or unwisely or not to be thinking. But when it's your position and your play to make, and you don't make the play, and you can't make the play consistently, you have no idea where the ball's going. I mean, that cutoff was unbelievable. And this is going on every night across the diamond, across the organization. This isn't any one player. And I go back to you and Allen and me yelling about it back in May. It's philosophical. They don't care. They just don't think it's that important until they give the Red Sox, I mean, four errors. I mean, there were two other plays that were. They made mistakes and
Right.
got, and it didn't cost an extra base. It wasn't called an error. But I mean, that happens every night. They never have the World Cup's over with, but they never have what they call a clean sheet, ever. They and I don't need it to be flawless every night, but pitcher throwing the ball in the right field, first baseman coming off the bag, second baseman bobbles a double play ball, opens the inning wide up. Now you're losing. Just. Not to mention the strikeouts and the on and on, and guys hitting 188. I don't know. I think the winning streak made a lot of us sit up and think they're good. I think the fact that they're a game and a half off the wild card on any given day, because the rest of the team stink, gives us some sort of false hope. But when I watch them on a night by night basis, it doesn't feel like winning baseball to me. That's
Well,
all.
I
The
mean,
pitching does. Lately.
well, you say lately, it's been 2 months that the pitching's been, top five caliber in baseball, at least in terms of ERA. Now, strikeouts, but here's a reminder, when you have a staff that doesn't strike a lot of people out, you're going to be subjected to more potential defensive miscues. I mean, I'll say this, and I said this back in late May and early June when they had that, what, 10-4 stretch, and that was kind of their first stretch that got them, saved their season at that point in time, right? They've had stretches where they've played better defense, right? Not great defense, but better defense. I mean, they don't, the way they played Monday night, they don't play like that every night, or they'd barely win ever, that. But I mean, that was just, for me, it was disappointing because it did feel like a bigger game, right? Again, I don't want to say it was like October baseball. I think that's over the top. But
But if you're
the,
trying to get the momentum you want to get to be a
of
playoff team,
course,
this is.
you need to keep it going. You need to sustain. I said it coming out of the weekend. 7-game winning streaks are nice. And look, there aren't many bad teams that have 7-game winning streaks, right? I want to be clear on that. At the same time, I just looked it up. The 1999 Orioles won like 12 in a row, 11 in a row at some point. That wasn't a good team, right? So bad teams can win and go on winning streaks, but the idea is you need to be able to sustain it. Like the idea isn't that you get back to two games under 500 and then a week and a half later you're back to seven games under 500,
They're
right?
averaging 13 strikeouts a night every night since the break, and they've won three of four of the games. So, like, how long? You're walking the tightrope here, and
Sure.
I think to some degree you're walking a tightrope to be getting pitching this good, because the next 2 months probably won't be as good as the last 2 months in a general sense, because it's been really good.
Yeah, I mean,
And
it's not that I would think it will fall off to the point where it's bottom five again. I think those guys are pitching well, but, and I pointed this out to you, and you just said it talking about the strikeouts that the Orioles are guilty of striking out so much. This pitching staff just doesn't get many strikeouts. Now, you can still be effective and you can still win games that way,
got to turn double plays.
but I was just going to say, what do you probably need in concert with that? You need strong defense if you're going to be pitching the contact more often. And that's where, yeah, they'll go through some stretches where the defense is okay and solid, but you're never going to look at this group and say, oh, this is going to be a really strong defensive ball club. But I mean,
God,
I'll
it's
be
ugly to watch.
it's frustrating. You know
I mean,
what's
I
frustrating?
forgot, like, my name's Aparicio, and I see those old, turning the double play and getting up in the air and guys coming in with cleats
Sure.
up and, like, the excitement of baseball and the bang bang double play. And we watch so much Earl Weaver and Mark Belanger and Cal Ripken and Mike Bordick and JJ Hardy, and I just go on and on and on. Like, I even say my Venezuelan brother Melvin Mora became a decent fielder around here when he wasn't. But man, the era of the Mark Reynolds and the kicking the ball around, and that's one thing when you're going to lose 94 games, and you know it year round, every year. They were going to lose 96, 90, every, you had no belief. But when you start to believe and you draft these young players and you stink and you're sold the bill of goods and you're signing pitchers for $90 million, sign the pitchers for $90 million all you want. But when you can't field ground balls and you're putting second baseman to third base and backup guys at second base and your shortstop is going to the hall of something and he's batting 201 and on a weekly basis does something that makes you say, my God, get him off. Maybe he's a designated hitter. He's an athlete.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but he's very inconsistent. I mean, let's stick with Gunnar Henderson for a moment. I'd like to be able to talking about the fact that he had three doubles on Monday night. He went the other way multiple times. It was
He used the wall.
a kind of approach that I'd be encouraged by seeing, right? Especially on the heels of, especially the first two games in Houston. I mean, he looked sick at the plate. Just swings were completely off. I mean, swung through some hittable pitches, all of that. But you saw that, but then you just see the defense in the third inning that directly led to two errors or to two runs in that inning. I mean, it's just, and the difference with him compared to, again, you brought up Jackson. They've played Jackson Holliday very, very, very little at third base. It's been an inning or two at a time, right? Nothing's really happened that's cost them in any of those situations that I can think of. But it's kind of a,
He's also a 1-1 athlete that should at least be a decent third baseman. It shouldn't look like I'm making it up. Kobe May, I don't know. I mean,
No,
it
I'm
should
not.
look better than that, no matter what. I agree with you.
No. What, Holiday? I mean, have we really seen him do much at third? I mean, like, again, I'm trying to
I
talk
think
about
he can play third.
But it's more that more epitomizes where they are, right? With the roster construction and all of that. But with Gunner, this is not a guy that's incapable of making plays, right? We see him make incredible plays at shortstop. Even recently, we've seen him make very good plays at shortstop. But it's when you then see him throw a relay, make a relay throw to the backstop, and it's up the line like that happens, and that it puts guys, in scoring position. It gives extra bases. That liner, I don't know if he lost it in the seats, or, lost it with white shirts in the background or something like that. I mean, he leaps,
I think he thought it was hit harder
and
than
the
it
ball hit
was.
him on the heel of the glove or the wrist. I mean, but that right there, like that sequence, that. two runs in a one-run game that you lost. There you go, right? I mean, that sequence of events there in that third inning. I mean, it was two outs and nobody on. And it's not just that you give up the two runs, then it's the trickle-down effect, right? Boz has to throw more pitches. Boz isn't going to get as deep into the game, even though they pulled him with a relatively low pitch count. And that's where we look at the bullpen, which, despite perceptions, and you know how I felt about the bullpen going back to spring training, it is a bullpen that statistically has done way better than people would have thought. At the same time, when you're in a close game like that, you're in a big game like that where you need to win, you want to keep this going, that's where that shows up then. And Wells gives up, and Wells has pitched really well of late, right? But he's kind of become their, I guess, sort of their default closer right now. I mean, I don't know if he's going to do that every night, every game necessarily, but then he gives up the home run to Durbin. But you talk about the chain, right? And Boz having to get extra outs in that third inning, and it cost him two runs. His final line, he gives up four runs, but only two of them are earned. I thought he pitched pretty well. He didn't, the pitchers, they didn't walk anybody, right? I mean, so you look at that, but the defense just let them down at such a high level that it's really frustrating. And it's tough to look at anything else in the game. Those are self-inflicted plays, especially these were all throws.
No, dude, it's not a one-night thing, though, right? I mean, like
But
looking
I
at
understand
in the
that,
body of
but
work,
I'm
it's like
talking
this,
about
but
one game though.
this, but this,
I'm not, go ahead.
it just
I know, but
rears up and
I
bites
know
them.
you're talking about the big picture. I'm just trying to focus on Monday night's game specifically. We know they're not a good defense, but this was a very winnable game. In the big picture, I know they're not. I've said for a couple years they don't really prioritize defense. And especially now when the most versatile infielder you have in Blaze Alexander, who can actually play three spots at, not a gold glove level, but he's capable of playing three spots, and is better than most of what you have in that infield defensively. He's out of the picture. And then, yeah, you're trying to piece this together with, okay, can you put Kobe Mayo there and he's not kill you? Can he get a couple hits in the process? Or, okay, we're going to give Christian Encarnacion Strand an opportunity. And hey, he did a nice job with that. But, is he going to hold up there? Is he going to hit enough? Right? I mean, these aren't appealing options, right? These aren't appealing choices. That's where I'll empathize with Craig Albernaz a little bit in terms of that. At the same time, these are major league players. And, it's one thing if a ball takes a difficult hop or something along those lines. These were throwing errors. And by the way, Boz made a throwing error as well, right? So, there's a case where the pitcher didn't help himself, even though that one wasn't quite as consequential. But, it's just, these are the things that you have to be better in doing to keep this going, to turn a 7-game winning streak or 10 of 13 into 20 of 26, right? Those are the kind of things you need to be able to do consistently to put yourself in position to get back to 500, to get two games over 500. The Red Sox.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you make of them, by the way? Luke Jones is here if you're listening in. You follow him out at Baltimore Luke. We're going to be doing the Crab Cake Tour this Friday. We're Pizza John's. I did not promote that at the beginning. Brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, GBMC, and our partners at Farnan and Dermer. And I had Zach on talking about all that smoke in the air and changing your filters. So you definitely want to listen to that this week. We didn't talk much about the Red Sox and getting a look at them because I don't know. We took him seriously in the offseason and pitching and young players and potential. A lot of the same storylines we have here, except that this group here with Henderson, Couser Rookie of the Year, there were guys that had the lights on here, Rutschman certainly, that made the Orioles look more optimistic, perhaps, on opening day than the Red Sox. Certainly in your mind, my mind, Alan's mind, our baseball minds around here, Joe Poile, some other people, didn't think much of the Red Sox in the beginning. Now that they're coming to life, what do you make of it?
I mean, it begins and ends with the fact that they've allowed fewer runs per game than anyone in the American League. If there was something that you could point out for them to have hope, and look, they fired Alex Cora early in the midst of that Orioles series, way back, what was that, draft weekend, I think it was. So if I remember correctly. But they've pitched and they play good defense. Now, it wasn't perfect. You know, they had a play or two in Monday night's game where it didn't look flawless. But overall, they've played really good defense and they've pitched at a high level. And by the way, that's with Garrett Crochet on the shelf. That's with, Ranger Suarez is currently on the shelf. I mean, it's not as though things have gone perfectly for them. They've been missing Roman Anthony, of course, on the offensive side. So
And he's
that's
the
a,
guy that was the guy, right?
yeah, I mean, he's there. Gunnar Henderson, not the same position, but the idea of a guy that you think is going to be your aircraft carrier long term. But the thing that really kept them in it, and frankly, it's the thing that's kept the Orioles in it, at least to this point, right? To where they are right now, that they're still in it. They pitched at such a high level, and they have so many individuals who pitched well for them that it gives you an opportunity to get on a roll. And now they've swung the bats well over the course of their winning streak. But you look at them, I mean, go just look at the American League East standings, and then just look at the runs allowed column, right? Tampa's at 422, Yankees 387. They pitched well as well, also. Orioles 478, Toronto 449. Red Sox have allowed 373 runs this year. And that's what, 99 games into their
That's
season.
100 runs less than the Orioles.
Yeah. Well, and that's even with the Orioles having pitched as well as they have over the last 2 months. I mean, one, it speaks to how bad the Orioles pitching was through Memorial Day, but it also speaks to just how well the Red Sox have pitched all year. But it also, the other factor is the Red Sox have only scored 419 runs, right? Which is 45 less than the Orioles. So it's been their pitching and their defense that had, I don't want to say kept them in it, because they were 11 games under 500 3 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, whatever it was, when they started this winning streak. But it speaks to giving yourself a chance. And even in a game on Monday, and it's not like they pitched, it's not like they pitched great. They struck out a bunch of Orioles, but the Orioles still scored 5 runs, right? I mean, it's not like they shut them out or anything. But the way they've done it, if there was a team that you could continue to point to that said, of all these teams in the midst of this wild card mess in the American League, right, this malaise of mediocrity, they were the team that you try to identify what does a team do well. And it's been very evident for most of the season, even with some injuries to some really big names on their staff, the Red Sox have pitched very, very well this year. That's going to give you a chance, right? The Orioles, their 7-game winning streak. Look at how they pitched, right? I mean, look at how they're, even Dean Kramer wasn't great in Houston on Friday night, but it's not like he gave up 7 runs either, right? They've pitched really, really well. So, but the Red Sox, the difference is the Red Sox have kind of done that from the start of the year and until now. I mean, it's been their offense that's been so horrible for them, but now they're swinging the bats better and they've gotten themselves on a roll. So, the Red Sox, I think, are, and I wasn't terribly high on them going into the year. Like, I thought they'd be in the playoff mix with basically every other team in the division, even though we all thought Tampa was going to be the worst. If you think back to it, I mean, how many times have we done that over the last 20 years? But I think if there was something you could identify, it was their run prevention. And you kind of looked at their run differential, which, and I know old school people will cringe at this a little bit, but if you're talking in terms of analytics and sabermetrics and, run prevent or run differential can be something that can be predictive over time, or you'd like to think it can be, go look at the Red Sox run differential, plus 46. Now, the 14-game winning streak has allowed that to move up, to increase. It's gotten better. But even before that, if you looked at them, despite where they stood in the standings, their run differential wasn't that bad.
They were in games, they were losing,
Yeah,
right?
you kind of looked at it and said, of all these different teams, I'd keep an eye on Boston. They need to get healthier on the pitching side, which they're still dealing with that, but they've pitched so well overall, it doesn't matter. And, now they're starting to swing the bats a little bit better, but they're a pretty strong defensive club overall. So I think they're really interesting. I think the thing I'll say, and this is where I'm not ready to really give them an amazing chance to overtake Tampa. I mean, the Yankees, the Yankees, they're top wild card right now. I mean, Tampa Bay's really fallen back to the pack, so that's helped the Yankees, who haven't played very well in the wake of Judge being out. And we know Judge doesn't sound like his return is anywhere close to being imminent. But I think what's tough with the Red Sox, and I think this applies for the Orioles, I thought this applied to Houston. And I mentioned this in passing. When you've dug yourself an early season hole, a first half hole in the way that these clubs have, you exert so much energy trying to get back to 500, trying to get a couple games over 500. I mean, the Red Sox are in that position now. They've won 14 in a row. I do wonder if they run out of gas, right? Do they get to a point where,
Well,
they
that's
go,
where you want to get your pitchers back if you're
right,
them.
exactly. But I just, and that's, and the same thing, like Houston, a couple weeks ago, I kind of looked at them 2.5, 3 weeks ago, I think it was. They were kind of making their push at the same time as the Rangers were making their push to kind of get back in the AL West and wild card discussion. But Houston had a really nice run. They played really well for, I don't know, it was 3 weeks, something like that. And the last couple of weeks, you've seen them backslide, right? And I just think it's really challenging. I mean, it's just the reality. You play a certain way, you have a certain winning percentage for the better part of what, 3, 3.5 months, and then suddenly you play out of your minds for a couple of weeks. I mean, and the Red Sox have won 14 in a row. I mean, my goodness. But I think it's then challenging then to not even sustain that, because you're not going to continue to have 14 game winning streaks, or just like the Orioles, you're not going to have 7 game winning streaks, every other week. But you've got to sustain a certain level, and I think that's where it can be tough. I think there can be an emotional toll that b beyond just the physical of getting later into the season, pitchers are more tired, position players who are playing every day get a little more tired. There's all of that that I will be interested to see how the Red Sox do whenever this winning streak comes to an end, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or later this week. They're going to lose again at some point. You hope the Orioles can hand them a loss or two here before this series is over. But I do wonder how a team does on the back end of that, on the other side of that. Do you now start playing like a legitimate playoff caliber team? Are you able to keep that going? Or does it end up being, wow, it was an incredible 2 weeks, or it was an incredible 3 weeks, but then you kind of just start playing like the team you were for the first 3 months of the season. So, we're going to see. But I do think with Boston, I mean, the thing that you have to give them the nod over the Orioles, they pitch even better than the Orioles have pitched for the last 2 months. And they've done it all year, really. And they defend better. I mean, that's just the truth. And they've dealt with injuries too. So, and that's where maybe where we've only mentioned in passing the injury with Adley
I
Rutschman.
was going to say, I mean, we went after Rutschman. I went after him pretty
Yeah.
good from last week. And I could have been a jerk to him, asking about all sorts of things, including injuries. And I definitely took the sunny side of the street, saying, hey, dude, you're at the All-Star game because you've been healthy enough to
Yeah.
be your best self, because Basayo has caught a significant enough amount of the games to give you a little bit of slack that you can go be the best version of yourself and the best ball player. And even last week, you're on a winning team that's in the middle of turning things around. They won three more games, and now suddenly he's not even a part of it. I mean, that's the thing about this team, dude. Like, I'll give this to Elias, for Blaze Alexander and for the Burns deal 2 years ago, and for identifying Rodgers, even though the Stowers thing didn't smell good this time last year, right?
Right.
Whatever. The good and the bad and all of it as comprised what I believed in with 92 wins and all of this other stuff. I don't know that Rutschman, that I was first up to really believe in him. I believed in Henderson. I was never a Couser guy, but I was a Couser's going to hit 240, strike out a lot, hit 16 home run. He's never going to be a great player, but I thought he'd be a 600 at bat. I thought he'd be a part of these 92 wins, not a guy that's going to hit a buck 88 and be out of the big leagues, right? I believed enough that Kobe Mayo could turn a corner and be a big league ball player. Now, I believed Holiday would be hitting 271 right now with 13 home runs and 58 RBIs and be a complete player. I believe that Westberg would be playing third base right now and be batting 262 with 17 home runs and 49 RBI. And like, but I believed Rutschman would be a 250 hitter with 12 home runs. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think Rutschman was going to turn into Johnny Bench again or anything like that. But I believed Helsley was going to be a closer. I believed Eflin was going to make 16 starts in the first half. I mean, there were a lot of things I believed in back in March. The Rutschman thing, the fact that he was their all-star in this lowly sort of year when they've been scuffling along for the most part, nobody on the roster, even Rico Garcia aside, even came remotely close to being their best self, Blaze Alexander maybe. That Rutschman will be their all-star last week. But dude, the injury thing with him, you get a deal for him at the deadline. You're going to sign, like, this is getting to be. I didn't say this to him last week, but I'm a prick now. Luke, he might be soft.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to use that terminology,
Well,
especially if someone who can't.
that's the phone caller.
No,
Yeah.
but I understand the sentiment. I'm not going to. Look, here's the reality. Since the start of last year, he's caught 115 games. Since the start of last year, they played, what, 262? They're right around 100 games at this point. To be accurate, they're at 101 games. So 263 games over the last 2 years, he's caught 115 of them. He's been on the IL 5 times now in the last 13 months. That's concerning. He's 28 years old. He's going to be 29 years old. I mean, this is why, and I've said it to you, and I think people hear me say it or see something I might write about this, and they think I dislike Adley Rutschman. No. I think Adley Rutschman, when he's at his best, and I will say this, I will give him credit. After the year and a half that he had, talking about all of last year and the second half of 24, he has rebounded nicely as far as the productivity at the plate, in terms of how he's played defensively. I mean, he's played very good defense behind the plate. He's throwing way better than he had been the
And
last
that
couple of years.
makes pitchers
All
better
that,
because we've talked how good the
no
pitching
doubt,
is,
no
right?
doubt. But availability is absolutely a concern at this point. Now, there's nuance to this. Now, last year he had 2 month plus absences with an oblique strain on either side, right? He had two different oblique injuries. That was concerning to me because it's like, I don't want to say you get oblique injuries all the time because you're out of shape. Like, it's not that, but are you in peak condition the way that you need to be to survive and navigate a 162 game season when you have two different oblique injuries, right? But this year, if you do look at the IL stints, he had a very minor ankle issue in injury in April. I think it was 10 days. I think it was the minimum, and he was back, or 11 days, something like that. It was very close to, just the minimum. And then the second IL stint, keep in mind, that was when he got hit in the ear on the errant throw to first base. He was on the concussion list. And I'm not suggesting that you were saying that
That's
either.
nothing.
But that's a different animal, right? When you're talking about someone who gets hit on the side where the ear flap isn't, the batting helmet without the ear flap, as you're running the first and get hit in the ear and you're on concussion protocol. And even then, I think he was out 8 or 9 days. That's a 7 day concussion list stint. You hope this is nothing major, but I don't know about you. I get nervous when I hear about a hitter with a wrist injury, right? Doesn't mean it's chronic, doesn't mean it's major,
It's his
doesn't.
left wrist, right?
Yeah,
That's
it's
the
his left
wrist he
wrist.
catches 98-mile-an-hour fastballs with. So, like that, that's the first thing I thought because I was in the car, listening, which I've been doing a lot of lately, and I think Josh Lewin and Brett do a nice job. And all I could think about left wrist, and I'm thinking, oh no, that's where he catches fastballs. That's going to make him far less of a catcher, and they're going to want his bat. And this is, to your point, it's problematic because it's
Yeah, I mean, anytime with any
wrist for a
hitter.
catcher and a hitter,
Yeah.
no bueno, no
Yeah.
bueno.
Well,
Yeah.
but I also think so. What you hope is that this is them being ultra proactive to say, No, we're not going to try to give you 2 days. We're going to give you minimum 10 days to rest, really shut this down, and then hopefully it's fine. And if it
Right.
is, then he'll be back in 10 days and
I guess the
hope.
point is it has to be 100%
Yeah,
when
I
you're
mean, it's
catching
just,
fastballs and it's your left
well, it's not
wrist
going to get
and when you're
better,
hitting,
right?
right,
You
exactly.
might
You're
be able
going
to
to be
play through
using
it.
it.
You might be able to play through it, but what level of effectiveness are you going to have? And that's where
Dude,
you
he
look at
probably has
the.
to stay off his phone because your wrist is like
I mean, maybe. Yeah.
literally when your wrist is a mess,
Yeah, Albernaz was vague about how it happened, but I do know a few folks had pointed out if you go back to Saturday's game, and I think, where the red flag was raised on this was he caught Friday night, he DH'd on Saturday, and then he's out of the lineup Sunday. Like that, okay, that's the fact that he DH'd on Saturday, no, that was no big thing because Trevor Rogers pitched and Basayo has. Those two just click really well. They've talked about it in terms of how they think about calling a game and all that. He's become his personal catcher, which is fine because Basayo is not your typical backup catcher. Like, there's no controversy here. But the fact that Rutschman DH'd on Saturday, if you go back and look at that game, he flies out. I forget which at bat it was. I want to say it was later in the game. I mean, they didn't take him out or anything, but you could kind of see he reacts awkwardly. He flies out. Now, I will say this. I don't know for sure that that's what it was because it was a pretty fat pitch and he popped it up in the shallow center field or right center, wherever it was. But he kind of reacts and you do wonder if it one, was this something that was bothering him? Maybe it was bothering him a little bit before the All-Star break. And then on that swing, he really aggravated it. Or was this something new? I mean, Albernaz was kind of vague about that. He was asked about it after the game Sunday, was asked about it again in pregame on Monday, and didn't really say anything definitive on it. But it is one of those things where you really hope they're just really being extra cautious here because I don't know about you. I mean, we haven't seen Sam Huff a whole lot, but he's not Adley Rutschman or Sam Basayo at the plate, that's for sure. Because I mean, my goodness, you look at the numbers, I think he. I don't know. I can't remember what his strikeout rate is off the top of my head, but it's pretty crazy. Like he is not going to do. I have it right here: 30 plate appearances, 17 strikeouts. I mean, that's what you're talking about here. So, this is not a situation where if Adley Rutschman has to miss any kind of real time beyond the 10 days, that is not good. And oh yeah. Basayo's dealing with the sore shoulder, right? And he wasn't in the lineup Monday night. Now that sounds like more of a day-to-day, but Nestor, just like we were talking about his wrist, this is Basayo's right shoulder. So it's his lead arm hitting, and it's his throwing arm as a catcher. So suddenly, even with this 7-game winning streak, and again, I'm not burying them after one loss, as ugly as it was on Monday night defensively. It's a loss. It's not anything to panic over, but you're talking about two really, really important players to what they do with their lineup and also in handling the pitching staff. That's certainly something that, kind of took the joy out of the winning streak. Even on Sunday when, Rutschman wasn't in the lineup and Basayo leaves early in the game. It's one of those yeah, but situations. Yeah, they won a seventh in a row, but man, those are two guys you don't want to be without for too long because if you're looking for, just like I was talking about the Red Sox a few minutes ago, if you're looking for what this team does really well or what this team's strengths are, it's catching tandem. It's pretty unique, right? It's very unique to have two catchers like that where, and we can pick and choose, who's better at what or any of that, but you got two really good options. I mean, for all of our debate that you and I have had and others have had about Sam Basayo long term as a catcher, he at least catches well enough that, like, I never at this point, I don't view him as a he's not a liability back there or anything like that. It's not like, some n name any kind of bigger guy that's lined up as a catcher over the years where you just say, all right, that guy's actually a DH and he's just their backup catcher, right? Sal Fasano, someone like that. You know what I mean?
My
Like,
dude, Mark Parent,
yeah, exactly. I mean,
back
guys
in the day,
that were
Bernie.
kind of back there because of their bat and they were a backup catcher, but didn't do anything that, like you're just hoping, like, okay, hopefully this is an easy game for them behind the plate. Basayo's way better than that. So The thought that you have both these guys banged up right now at such a critical juncture where you've won seven in a row, but you need to keep this thing going. You've got 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks now to the trade deadline. You want to get back to 500. You want to get a couple games over 500, right? I mean, the goal isn't just 500 and then, hey, pop the champagne, right? That's not how this works. They need to be better than that. But when you don't have Adley Rutschman now, and Basayo's status is at least iffy for the time being, man, that's not where you want to be. You don't want Sam Huff and Chadwick Trump catching games for you when you need to be winning. So it's definitely another layer to the concern, in addition to just the way they threw the ball all over the diamond on Monday night.
Luke Jones is here. He and I are trying to field the ball a little better as we get ready for Ravens training camp. He is back from vacation, which means the Orioles are losing again. I don't
Hey,
care what you say. I'm blaming this on
I
you.
will say this. I got home Saturday and was able to watch what the game went 11 innings, I think it was. I saw the bottom half of Houston, the final inning. And then Sunday I watched the entire game and they won. So, I saw I'll take credit for two of those wins being home. So, but yeah, it's all my fault otherwise.
I want to. Another thing, it's your fault, is that as we speak here right now, we will be flying somewhere over Nantucket in Martha's Vineyard en route to landing at Logan in Boston. We had a Tuesday morning flight. It was a stupid cheap flight a couple of months ago. Luke said to me in a private moment that he wanted to cover a game at Fenway Park, was on his bucket list when I got back from Machu Picchu. And I said, well, let's try to figure this out. And we identified Tuesday, the 21st of July, day after his mom's birthday, week after the All-Star game, a whole day and a half after he gets back from his vacation and all of this. Orioles were a sinking ship up in
The Red
12
Sox
days
were at the
ago.
time too.
I didn't cancel this trip until you were already in Wildwood. I canceled this trip 10 days ago because, like, I don't want to be mean, but you didn't want to do it. And I didn't
I
want to do
didn't.
it. I'll say it. But
As long
I.
as you add that part,
No,
yeah.
no, no. I was really fine doing that. I haven't been to Boston in a long time. I haven't been in the summer in a long time. I haven't been with you ever. They wouldn't have given me a press pass, but I would have gone to see Toto at the Shell tonight. I mean, I would have been good. So here's what I'm thinking. And I was thinking about this because, my wife thought she was a Red Sox fan the first 52 years of her life. And, she didn't even know the Red Sox had won 13 games in a row. Like, literally, that's how out of the sports grid she is at this point, walking in the woods and living her best life at this point. And we got talking about this. I said, so Tuesday night, we were supposed to go. And I looked at, there might even be like some forecast or some rain. Styx is playing up in Philly. I was thinking about doing that, get some cheesesteaks, whatnot, but I'm not. I'm going to watch baseball because the Orioles are relevant again. I'm not even going to Toto because the Orioles are relevant again. And we're not going to Boston because you quit on a trip. Now, something weird's going to happen, right? Like no hitter. Like something's going to happen that's going to have me busting your balls really big time on Wednesday, right? Something's got to happen that's going to be crazy in Boston on Tuesday night, right? Maybe.
Maybe, or it could be a rain out as I'm looking at the hourly. 61% chance of rain at 7 o'clock, 80% at 8 o'clock,
Oh,
85% at 9 o'clock, 89% at
best
10 o'clock.
decision of our
So we'll see.
lives.
I mean, hey, you never know, right? I don't know if Boston's
Oh,
quite like
Luke.
the Chesapeake Bay, where if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes but or an hour, but
It did feel like if we had gone Monday night, we really would have been wildly entertained and it would have been a
oh
good
it.
night. It was nice night weather, the
All
whole
things,
deal, right?
I mean, as much as all the hand-wringing over the bad defense, it was an entertaining back and forth kind of game. Like if those were two teams that I had no vested interest in, I'd say that was an entertaining game. A little bit of errant,
Dude, if
shaky
you
defense
bagged
and
out on
clutch.
Boston on a rainout night, dude,
I'm the MVP then.
yeah, you are. Yeah, that's a walk-off grand slam, is what that is. That's better than a bowl of legal clam chowder, to
Put it
be
this
honest with
way,
you.
it will either be that or Kyle Bradish is going to throw a one-hit shutout, which, there we go. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, the forecast, as you and I are speaking in real time, the morning of that game, it doesn't look too great right now. So we'll see, but.
All right. Well, the Toto concert will probably show up. Christopher Cross on my timeline too, and the Romantics. What I like about you. I am Nestor. He is Luke. The Orioles winning streak has come to an end. The Ravens winning streak is about to begin. He'll be at training camp next week. We're going to be at Pizza John's on Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. For those of you who love East Point Mall, the mall that I grew up in, John Allen, my rock star pal, going to join me down in Essex for some pizza. And then we're going to meet at the mall at 5 o'clock on Friday, do one last tour of East Point Mall. Then we're all heading over to Costas in Dundalk, where they have real crabs. Luke, I have not these. Beautifully manicured hands, missing a finger, have not had crabs yet this year. So Friday night, about maybe
Really?
about 6:15.
It's almost August, dog. I mean, like, I've had crabs twice this year, this summer.
I'm going to
Once,
change this on Friday
including
night.
once at Costas, and they were delicious.
I already told Nick, I'm coming. I'm going to have a I'm going to have Raskin's a claw over here. Hold on, let me show you. Raskin's got this. He gave me this crab claw a couple years ago, and this is the best thing ever because it's got the beer opener right on the other side.
Nice.
So yeah, so I'm going to have I'll have my crab
Multifunctional.
claw. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Leonard came on this week too. We talked some more World Cup and some stuff like that too. Also about saving money this year, which I'm going to spend money. I'm getting some crabs at Costas. We're going to East Point Mall. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to have Raven scratch offs, GBMC, Farnan and Durham are putting us out on the road this week. We are at Costas in Timonium, as the coach would say, next Thursday. And we're back at Coco's on August 26th. Coco's is on vacay week after next. Get over there, get the crab cakes ahead of time. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.